Josh is talking to a lady again.
Oh, we're not testing it. We're just going.
I already tested
it live.
I already tested it.
Oh, okay.
So I was
That's
in here
fair.
Testing on. So this should the audio should go through both headphones now. I'm so happy. I know it's like third episode in a row that we bought this channel mixer because now we can just vibe out.
This is so much more comfortable.
Oh, and sitting on the couch, man.
Let me turn around and face you. I can kick quote up my Bradley feet. Cooper in A Star Is Born. Let me get another look at you.
I just want because he's a drunk maniac in that one. He's like,
drinking a bottle of warm Hemador.
Yeah, he's like, I remember that. And Lady Gaga's like, what? He's like, I don't want to get another look at you.
Isn't it fun?
I'm a fucking drunk idiot.
You can do so many cool things when you're like hot, you know?
Yeah, you can. They remade that same movie like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, this is the
it's
third
just
one.
Yeah, a drunk idiot gets some good pussy. That's all it is because he's hot and famous.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's
they didn't kill him like in the other ones. The other ones like walk into the ocean. This one he's like and he hangs. Spoiler: hangs himself. So.
Is that how Bradley ended it in this one?
Yeah, it's the shot of the garage and all that.
Okay.
He has Sam Elliott as a super old ass brother.
Yeah, that was cool.
I never appreciate you. And Sam Elliott's like, I love you, Jackson. And he drives away all crying.
Well, hey. Yeah, that honestly isn't a terrible movie. It's just.
I saw it with my ex.
Oh, of course.
When
you did.
We, I yeah,
between
I need
fucking it. Harry Potter and Hunger Games.
Dude, it's funny. Did I tell you the Hunger Games argument?
No, I just know we have the Hunger Games like set of books, so
oh,
it had to have come.
Well,
from
Well, that's a different one. I took a Hunger Games and Stalinism class in college, which was cool.
Okay,
but the problem is the Hunger Games. Like it's fine as young adult fiction, but it's written so horribly.
Right.
Like you guys kvetch about my writing style, you would fucking hate these books. They're
are we talking about just the Hunger Games books, not like
I'm saying on a technical level.
Yeah.
On a like on just like you know, writing prose, okay, it is unbearable to fucking read.
I read the first one, I know, and I mostly liked it, and I think I remember my mom got me the second one right before I went to a little place called the Steubenville Youth Conference.
Whoa.
And I want to segue off of this for a minute.
Yeah,
because
Paul Blart, we're segueing.
This
it
is
up.
Where I lost God.
This is where you lost God?
It was between 8th grade and freshman year. And, like, all my friends were going. And it's like, we're going to meet, like, all the other kids from, like, yeah, that we'll be eventually, like, freshmen with. So
this is like a Catholic church camp? What?
Yeah, it was like a 3 or 4 day, like, little conference. We drove to Springfield, Missouri. We stayed in the MSU dorms. And for whatever reason, they put 3 to a dorm, but there was only 2 beds. So someone just had to sleep on, like, the hard tile.
Was that
and
you?
They for one night, and I didn't have a sleeping bag, so I just had a sheet hanging over me, and I was like freezing my life away because I was laying against this cold fucking tile all night.
Yeah, no, I think it's just anti-Jewish discrimination.
Yeah,
they just knew.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna buy those big rounded glasses.
I'm like, you're gonna do this to me on Rosh Hashanah? These are not the things.
Catholic and Jews just not getting along. Okay, I see we can't bury the hatchet there, fellas.
What was the movie with Brendan Fraser where he was a Jew and all the Catholics hated him? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm sorry, what? He was a Dudley Do-Right?
No.
The Mummy?
Tarzan?
Yeah, Tarzan. Encino Man? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a Jew and all the Catholics hated him.
Yeah, there was a
Is
movie.
Is that like recent?
It was probably early 2000s, late
90s. Hold on, we'll look this up. I remember he was in The Quiet American, and then, yeah, he just kind of, like, fell off. Watch it be,
while you
watch
look
it
this
be
up,
the, watch it be the whale.
Let
it was driven insane.
Let me, let me finish.
Okay.
A little bit of this. So, we're, we're there, and, like, every night they do these, like, concerts in the big basketball arena, and it's very over the top. Everyone's like, Jesus.
I used to go to stuff like ignite the whatever or dare to share and stuff like that. So I get that vibe. I get what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it was, I mean, scarring. So, I remember they, you know how Catholics do this thing called adoration? Have you ever heard of that?
No. What is it?
It's where they bring in like the Holy Sacrament, you know? So it's like a big, it's like a big like fucking the wafer in this like, like, it's a big fucking wafer in this like chalicey thing.
Okay.
And, you know, Catholics believe that that is Jesus.
What's the thing you guys bring in that you light the, it was in Midnight Mass. I'm trying to remember what it's called. I know what the communion is.
Just to light the candles, you mean? Or
yeah, I think that's what it is. They bring in someone like rosemary. It's like,
Oh, that's whenever they,
That's not adoration, then.
No.
Okay.
They do that around Christmas.
So they bring in a big cracker?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and it's like in this like gold like display chalicey looking thing. So it's literally just like, you know, they're playing this like easygoing music in the background. And I shit you not, for like 2.5-3 hours. Mind you, we're in an arena. And during adoration, you're supposed to be kneeling the whole time.
That sucks.
Well, an arena doesn't have kneelers with pad on them, so you're just kneeling on concrete for 3 fucking hours.
It's so awesome.
My knees were worse than fucking Yadier Molina.
Yeah, he had no cartilage in those bad boys after.
But the very funny thing about this, also segue, the adoration thing is like, you believe that that's Jesus, so it's like you are in the presence of God right now. And I'm like, aren't I in the presence of God every Mass because we eat the cracker? I mean, whatever.
Yeah, what makes this so special, you know?
So, but people are, like, passing out. They're falling over. And then they're being fucking, like, gaslit by other kids attending and, like, their chaperones and shit to be like, the Holy Spirit just moved through you. Like, that's what that was. And I'm like, no, they've lost circulation to their knees because we're kneeling for 3 hours.
Yeah, we're having a horrible time. So you out, oh, you brought logic. You brought logic to a fucking, to a faith battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Works every time.
Yeah, right? You're at a, you brought a gun to a Pokemon fight.
Exactly. Exactly. But, I got two more little tidbits. One's a very funny story. So my mom gives me the Hunger Games book, and I'm like, I'm going to read this on the bus on the
I'm
way there.
I'm going to get so much mad pussy.
And then, yeah. And I did not read it. I decided that my time was best spent trying to sneak and go jerk off somewhere because I was, you know.
You were horned up.
I was 14 years old. And
horned up 14-year-old.
It's been days since I had busted.
Yeah.
Been days since. So.
He said it like you're pissed off. Like, if like it's been a while, Tom, since you put out the trash lately.
It's been 1 week since I busted a nut.
It's been 1 week since I shot some goo.
Yeah. So like that, it sucked. But speaking of masturbation.
Uh-huh.
Now, there was like a Christian comedian there that was going up, and people were like, he's so funny, ha ha.
Jesse Hawkins,
he was one of the worst comedians I've ever seen.
Yeah,
good personality, energetic, but like, you're not,
they're all like that.
Yeah,
yeah, we should watch Huckabee because he has like Christian comics that come on and all that.
God, no.
And they're all like the same, like, they're all like really somehow dumber, dieted versions of Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh.
Like blue collar level Jeff Foxworthy, not 90s Jeff Foxworthy. He's a little more, you know, raunchy and all that. And he says like poop and balls and shit and caca. Like,
if you like Lady Gaga, you might be a Satan.
You might be a Satan. Like, I remember the kind of humor that it's like, in, like that they possess. And like, it's like fine, like humor if you're just like, you know, sitting around with the boys or whatever. Some guy's talking to you. Like, you're just talking to like some old guy at like a family function.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, do you like women? He's like, I got 8 kids. Like, you know, shit like that. And they would have those that, like, Dare to Share. And they have these, they have them. They would have them on campus at SEMO. The same guy is probably that you're talking about. If we found him for that, we could totally track him.
Dude,
he's probably,
I'd have to go back and figure out who the fuck that guy was.
Well, we'll watch Huckabee after.
Okay,
this. All right, so you see a Christian comedian and realize that the right is getting good at comedy has got us lefties nervous.
Exactly.
Huh?
I'm Dennis Miller.
I'm Dennis
Miller. I want to talk about the Holy Sacrament of Confirmation.
I ain't going to talk about the Holy... I'm going to grab your dog by its head. I'm going to squeeze until its little puppy eyeballs pop out. I'm going to breathe into its mouth the word of God.
I always like how Nick's like, who the fuck is Dennis Miller? We brought him up like three times. And I'm
we love Dennis Miller.
Yeah, fucking like, look up the guy.
I made him like put on Monday Night Football. Jesus Christ. All right, so they bring in Dennis Miller to perform. Yeah.
And but one of the last days, they separate all the men from all the girls attending. And we go to like one building and they're in another for like an individual retreat. And it was literally just one of those, like, we're going to get together and basically tell you that, like, you shouldn't watch porn and masturbate. Like, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, but don't do this the whole, perfectly normal
thing. You know, it's like some story, like, I was addicted to pornography, and then I did some bad things, and I was all horned up all the time. There's a part...
Kids, let me tell you, back in my day when I was smoking crystal, I was horny as hell all the time.
Fucking four strokes, dude.
If I didn't jerk off, my hands would choke me. So they brought in those lunatics.
Yeah, but there was also, of course, there's like 50 priests at this. So there's all, you know, this half the room is filled with fucking priests. And there's this one old, like super old guy, and he falls asleep during it. Mind you, it's right before they're just like, okay, guys, this is a safe space. So, like, if you think, like, you have, a pornography addiction or, you know, you've gotten very, like, into that and you're, you know, masturbating, like, this is a safe place. Like, we accept you. We just, you know, like stand up and, you know, like, admit your wrongdoing. You know, we didn't have to, like, individually do it. But it was, like, you know, like those of you...
Making you guys...
Those of you that have a problem, like, you know, stand up and do what you can. And this... weirdly enough, several of the guys get into this, and they actually stand up being sincere and genuine, which is the worst thing about our generation.
I was watching Sasha Grey just getting fucking all balled out. And, oh, God. Oh, no, my demons. My demons.
My demons. Oh.
My demons.
And.
But you're not fucking stupid. So you're
I'm not going to fucking admit I'm a. Apparently,
and they're all expecting you to do it too. Yeah. They're like, come on, Josh, we know you. We know you've been all pent up at this.
Oh, I was fucking running hot.
Hot. My infernal engine.
But all these guys stand up, and it's a bunch sitting around this like old, passed out priest. And he like wakes up right as people are standing up around him, and he also stands up in this group.
Oh my God.
We're just like, holy shit, that was, still to this day, it doesn't top, like, your experience in St. Louis last week. However, that was one of those kind of fundamental moments that, in a way, kind of teaches you what funny is.
It is.
Foundational, I should say.
This isn't a jerking off story, but I remember, like, my church I went to had us watch this really fucking demented, brainwashed, like, Christian docuseries called I Think They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And it was like linking all like these fuck like they're like showing clips of Columbine and like clips from like I don't know like fucking Rammstein or whatever. But like these lyrics says I am in the schoolyard ready to kill and like and here's Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris in the schoolyard ready to kill. You know, it's really dark.
It's like the same
delusional
of
shit.
Like the Kentucky State like General Assembly ads, like Robin Fuckhead is a crook, and then it's
right next to Amy Corndog asshole. It is like that, like shit. We should pull that up and watch and have a big giggle, like. And it got me so fucked up because I was such a fundamentalist thing, and I was like, I'm going to hell. I had like. My aunt Denise made me like 40 rip CDs of classic rock. And like during Sunday school, I'm like, I'm going to make a testimony that I'm going to put all these secular things aside. And I broke all those CDs in front of Sunday school. It was the gayest thing.
Oh, man.
Dude, if I had a time machine, I would go back to the day before, I was like, maybe I'll go to Vacation Bible School and begin that whole trek of my life. And I would shake the shit out of me. I was like, nah, dude, just like, don't do it. It's going to stunt your growth as a human being by like 5 years. All right. You have to, you just got to power through this.
Well, that's like the worst thing when you deal with, I mean, we're just going to blast them. Like, I mean, a lot of like homeschool kids is it obviously they're, I mean,
we were on one in the chat on that.
I was. Homeschool kids are fucking freaks. I'm putting it on the record. They're fucking mutants, and they shouldn't
they're
be
okay.
on society.
I don't like their parents.
They
but...
should be put in the fucking sewers and become mole people.
Jesus
be...
Christ.
Fucking...
Yeah.
They're the X-Men.
Fucking freaks.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
okay.
But like on like a somewhat serious note is that they get so sheltered from like very just like normal pop culture things. Like
the religious ones are. I do want to preface. There are two kinds of homeschool kids.
Skewed.
There are fairly normal ones. They're ones that I wouldn't know unless they told me. And then there's the Christian or religious ones, which they don't have to tell you. You can pretty much figure that out.
Yeah. Now, which
you might attribute it to all of them. But when I think of a delusional homeschool kid, it's option two that I think.
I look at them like the kind of obvious but like normal racist for this area where like they meet like the one black guy that they know, and then they're like, Rodney. He's one of the good ones. Like, that's how I would treat, like, the non-religious homeschool kids. I would be like, after talking to Samantha,
I hate their parents. Because, like, my degree's in teaching. And whenever I, like, talk to their parents about it, they're just, oh, you know, the school system's so fucked and all that. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I went to school for this, and, like, I can barely do this. How the fuck are you going to teach somebody? Like, I get it, they're your kid, but, like,
the kids,
the fucking arrogance. They have, like, online courses for them now, so, like, they have, like, I mean, you know, I will say since then, you know, it's, you know, homeschooling's a lot better on that one. They still have to meet, like, standard, like, GLEs and CLEs for, you know, state standards and tests and all that.
CDLs.
Yeah, but, like, nowadays, certified. Like, these parents, I think, realize how hard it is, and so they literally would just pay for, like, a unit book or a instruction set.
Which is
like,
no
did
different
you do these,
than being
did,
in school.
Did you do all, did you do this shit today, honey? Okay. Like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah,
like, send them to school to get bullied.
Yeah, it's no different than being in school, and then you lose out, I mean, on a lot of, I mean... This is a generalization because I'm gonna tone it back. They might not all be mole people, but they definitely should be relegated to somewhere else.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't
possibly
be allowed to breed. I agree. They shouldn't be allowed to breed. Yeah. They shouldn't be allowed to migrate. They we should treat them in the same way Israel treats Palestinians. Is what
you know.
We need to take a hard Israeli stance on homeschool kids.
When you look at homeschool families, it is about the same split of children to adults. In terms
it is.
Of,
and they have numerous underground tunnels underneath hospitals that we need to seal off by any means.
Oh, you know. That's where the that's where the bacon gets made.
Like, there are some, I think, good parents with it because I've talked to some, you know, but I knew some of them. And they're like, oh, yeah, we try and do, like, all this thing, make sure our kid's sociable, you know, get them involved with sports. And, like, public schools permit that, obviously. Like, we make sure, you know, they go out and to these X amount of functions. I'm like, then just, like, send them to school.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be home with my kid. I'd be like, send them to school, and you could just be at home with yourself, and you'll be so much happier.
Especially fucking Southeast Missouri. It's not like these teachers are... I mean, we're not going to rehash out the CRT and go through all that shit we talked about with that Elaine Edgar woman.
That fucking psycho.
Because that was fucking stupid.
That was, I think, our best run of episodes.
Yeah, we were cooking.
We were really cooking. We were doing some local politics cooking.
Yeah. But, like, at the level to where I can say things and not fear for my job. Like, I won't go city level with anything. now, our house district, well, you know...
Yeah, fuck our HOA.
But yeah. What was I going to say?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, no, we were talking about, you know, homeschool kids being religious and going out in public, trying to become buddies with people.
Yeah, which, I mean, like, obviously that helps. Teachers
around here having difficulty with CRT because apparently they're teaching.
Well, okay, yeah.
That's what prompted the Elena Edgar response.
It did. So I'm just saying, like, none of these schools in the area are teaching. They're not teaching anything crazy. No, if anything, they're doing the lame old school, like, you know, Paul Revere, you know, Christopher Columbus was a good guy. Yeah, like that kind of nonsense.
School's there to kind of teach, like,
sorry, Nick.
They're there to just kind of teach, like, state loyalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're there to teach, like, American exceptionalism and nationalism, you know.
It's just...
it's conservative. I mean, American education has got a conservative bent to it.
It does. I'm just saying, like, no one's getting radicalized.
No one.
I mean, people... I heard someone say today, like, oh, well, people are afraid to go to Central because, you know...
It's black. That's why. It's black. That's why. That's it. You should be like, because you don't like
black
people.
Well, there might be a fight in the hall right outside your classroom.
Yeah. Because it's a public school that encompasses a wide area and different socioeconomic backgrounds. Yeah. And what else? Like, I send my kid to Jackson. Yeah, because you're upper middle class and you're white and you move out of the district and you send your kid to Jackson. Congratulations for you.
I mean, case in point, they've got the highest household, like, not GDP, but like, expected income.
Yeah.
Like, and they beat Cape by like almost like 18,000.
I root anytime Cape plays against Jackson any sporting event, I always root for Cape.
Yeah.
Just on sheer fucking principle. And that may be why they don't put me on Cape Jackson games in high school, because they think I might have a bent on that one, because I've definitely voiced how much I hate Jackson.
Yeah.
They'll put me on Jackson games for anything else. I don't care at that point, but it was Cape Central and Jackson. But deep part of my cop wants to go away and the revolutionary wants to come out.
But without Jackson, where would we be in regards to the Andrew Jackson Jackson jacket?
Andrew Jackson Jackson jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, our friend Mark, because him and Tyler moved and all that.
Oh, so Mark is living with Tyler at this new place.
No, he's living with his girlfriend. But he thought about reaching out to that person who has
Nick's
jacket.
Jackson.
And not for
Jackson, Jackson jacket.
And not for the jacket, just to return some stuff that's left the apartment. And I said, Mark, you need to steal that jacket back for Nick.
Was it like a Letterman's jacket?
It was like a Letterman jacket, if I remember. We'll have to ask him again. But like,
how old was Nick when he was handing out Letterman's jacket? Letterman jacket. Like, was he like 24? Like, hey, babe, I got this for you. Like,
hey, babe.
Served me well when I, you know,
he tried to look I guarantee the jacket's big on him, like David Byrne levels big, and I think he pulls it off. You know, you know, we saw a show with him this past week, and he was wearing a little suit.
He looked good.
He looked very good.
And then he got upset with me when I said, "Oh, you're like David Byrne." He's like, "Yeah, I already said that."
I've been like, "Why is that one getting at you?"
Yeah, I already said that.
I was
like, "Okay, fucking Theo Vaughn, fucking, I didn't steal your fucking joke."
Yeah, like, no. Like, I think the one the only joke I made about it is I said to his sister, "I'd be like, why is he wearing your suit?" That's the only thing. I was really like into picking on poor Big Al because
we were so mean to Al. That's a chimney sweep, I say it is. Oh, God save the Queen. God save the Queen.
Al from Blind Velvet. He's an amazing guitar player.
We're going to get him on soon.
We're going to get him on. Great sense of fashion. So, but he has like, I don't know what kind of hat it is. I thought it was a newspaper hat. Because it has a button on the front you can clip down. But it's really baggy on the back. And so we're like, oh, what are you, fucking Trade Kentucky? And he was like, God damn it. My girlfriend told me not to wear this hat. Because she knew someone like you would say it. And I talked to his girl. And she's like, if you see him, take that hat off and throw it in the toilet. Whoa, it's just a hat. I didn't know I entered into a fatwa. I was just busting balls out here.
Jesus. Yeah, we were merciless. Although we weren't as merciless with the chance for Show Us Your Hog to Nick at his show.
Yeah, we could have been more gruesome with that one. He addresses it more now, and I think he knows if he addresses it, we'll be a little more gentler with it.
Yeah.
We didn't quite get the hog chant going.
Like, hog.
They had fucking Spacers that opened for them. They were great.
They were great. Yeah. So check Spacers out. I'm sure they got stuff on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, Nick wants to do stuff with them later on. So yeah. he's like, talk to my manager, Tom. Like,
the vibes actually match very well. Like, I think a lot of times.
When, oh, no, it does match very well. Yeah.
Like, when Nick plays, obviously, I love a double showing of them in Blind Velvet. Granted, the genres are drastically different, you know.
Yeah.
Of that, or subgenre, I should say. But Nick's played, like, with some pretty, like, heavy fucking rock bands at gigs, and I'm like, that doesn't these crowds don't match. We're wearing bright colors and these people are wearing like
they need to
t-shirts.
Yeah, they need to be, yeah, well, Nick doesn't want his fans to get their asses kicked, right? So right, us, yeah, it's, yeah, like, why I mean, I'm stealing that quote from, like, what they were talking about doing, like, a Weezer and fucking Slipknot tour, and then Weezer was like, we can't do this, your fans were going to kill our fans. And, like, we don't want our fans to get their asses kicked.
What's with these homies dissing my girl? Just gunshots and stabbings.
Have you ever seen Slipknot cover Disney songs?
Uh-uh.
They would do it live at their shows, and it's amazing. I'll show it to you afterwards.
Didn't they just, like, get rid of their drummer?
Yeah, they killed him. They had him killed. Oh. That's what get rid of me.
Honestly, I'm, like, I'm a pussy here with Slipknot, because I just think they're scary. Looking I don't like masks.
Yeah, that's the vibe they're going for.
I don't like being scared by
Come
music.
Come on, Petal, put on the mask.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, not a fan. I know. Although I do hope the next drummer wears like the mask from The Mask.
And the mask, yeah. Smoking. Yeah. Somebody suck me. we should talk some baseball. Where are we sitting at? We're at like 20-something. Other free agents besides pitching, we were looking at that, and I was looking at where we could add. I kind of think we're pretty solid all the way through. That poor cat, she just wants to be in here, but we're not because she's so bad.
She's bad.
She's bad. Cat no good. Cat did 9/11. Cat did cat 11.
Well, I shared with our friends in the Patreon group the Nick Castellanos flipping off a Gaza explosion. That's a new feature, folks, of signing up for our Patreon. Is daily, I am now going to be sending a poorly edited MLB player.
Oh my god, you monster!
Disaster.
What the fuck is this? Would you guys be interested in seeing poorly done baseball? Is this Jason LaRue walking away from a plane crash? What are you doing? I don't look at the Discord for fucking 20 hours of what happened. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful.
This is me sharing my message with the people, it's, Tom.
Yeah, I have no room to
These
talk.
These are my people.
I did Photoshop Nolan Arenado swinging a bat into the World Trade Center and was going to use it for Yankees fans who were so delusional into thinking they were going to trade fucking Clark Schmidt for him or some shit. New York, forget about it. New York. You gotta take that big dick like a New Yorker. Okay, so when it comes to organizational, positional depth, because we're little stat nerds here, the weakest positions were third base, short, and left and right field. Now, third base, I think we're going to be fine because I think Arenado's going to bounce back.
Yeah.
Definitely horrible off year, but it happens.
I mean, even if he goes to like a mean between the last 2 years, beautiful.
Perfect. Shortstop, we didn't give a fuck about. It was a revolving door. We had DeYoung. We had Tommy. We had Motter.
We had Donnie.
And we had Wynn. And Wynn was bad in his time up here offensively. But again, I'm going to do this little side too. I think people should come to expect that Mason Wynn will probably hit like between 230 and 250 with around 15 bombs. Like slightly better than Nick Ahmed, I think, offense production. But he's going to be electric defensively.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's
like
going to be
see,
like a 2.5 to 3.5 win player.
I mean, yeah, I think he's a 260, 270 hitter once he gets.
That'd probably be his peak. That's what I think.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be taking a league by storm and hitting 330.
He ain't going to hit 30 homers and all that. And he might, but like, I think
he did that in the minors. I mean,
he was on pace for like a 30 pace on that, but like that's what got him promoted so fast up here because he had just dwarfed that level, and now he's at the highest tiered on that. And, you know, he may turn into like the next Corey Seager. I don't think he will. I see him as like a guy who's going to be, you know, 680 to 740 OPS with plus defense. His arm buys him, especially at a position like shortstop. Yeah. He has very good range. His glove, from what I read, could be better, but like his glove at the very least is average, and he has a super plus arm. So he's good range, elite arm, average glove. That's going to.
He could be wearing fucking mittens out there. And dude, he'd be fucking working it, boy.
He'll probably post like, 5 to 10 DRS, 5 to 10 outs above average. He's going to be very valuable there, and he can steal. So So I want to preface that. Because like if Wynn gets the full-time job, like don't be surprised if he's like, you know, hitting very pedestrian numbers. With all that said, the holes that we have, I think that can be filled because the other weak spot was designated hitter was DH. I think it's our third priority. You know, priority one is starting pitching. Priority two is depth pitching, preferably relievers. Priority three is a bat. Now, perfect world, I think we go. I really like JD Martinez, but I think he's going to command, you know, enough money that I think it's going to chew into what we would want for like a decent crew of pitchers.
Which surprises me a lot. I mean, he had a great year last year.
Over 30 bombs, he bounced back is the thing, especially at his age. He
bounced
back
from his last season in Boston. I mean, he was abysmal. Last year.
Yeah, he didn't even crack 20 bombs, but, you know, 270, 30-plus homers, near 900 OPS. That's phenomenal. And then Jorge Soler. But Soler just opted out of $9 million, so he's going to look to command 15-plus easily.
Right. I mean, Soler would be my guy just because he's young
cool.
enough. He's cool.
He's cool.
He's young enough that you can sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal and not really be too worried about it. And he's a power impact bat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that it's great whenever our offense gets rolling and we have Goldie and Arenado hitting at the same time. Mm-hmm. But dude, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. These, especially Goldie, the clutch factor is just
abysmal. Pretty rough, yeah.
And
he
I can't
was,
speak to that with Soler too much, but I'm like, you're upping your odds.
Nolan was objectively terrible in clutch stats. Goldie was fine. It's just that I think because he strikes out a lot. And so
it's the eye test too.
Yeah. I know because with Alex Garcia was going off, I was talking about, you know, poking fun at the meme of Goldie being on clutch in postseason. He's fine in postseason. 260 hitter. He's got 8 career bombs. But like you probably would expect, you know, a guy with an MVP who is going to be a Hall of Famer to be hitting less like a fucking less like a Jaimer Candelario and more like fucking Bryce Harper, right?
Yeah, you rise to the occasion, right? Yeah. You know.
So, all that said, I mean, Goldie's fine. Nolan, not so fine. They were that will improve. I think Nolan was just beat up all season. He tried to go through it.
A lot of it helped its exposure too. I mean, it's not like Goldie or Nato got tons of opportunities when they were in, you know, Arizona and Colorado respectively.
Well, you know, we think of like clutch stats, like high leverage situations where they come up with
talking about like playoff stats though here, which
Nolan has a better excuse than Goldie. Goldie's had what 3 runs with us so far.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He should be better.
But
and he was great in that Braves series where they choked against us. Oh, Braves fans, remember that? 10-0 after one inning. Man, I would kill myself. But then he completely disappeared in that Nat series. It was like 1 for 15 or something.
They'd start coughing on each other in Atlanta.
New York. I like, in terms of depth pieces, if you can get JD or Jorge, you get them. I don't think they're going to get them.
No.
I think the other two priorities overrule that. I like, and I'm looking at this from depth, guys that are cheap. I mean, Lourdes Gurriel is available. Teoscar Hernandez is available. And Ilario's available, although we wouldn't. I would love to have him, but he's not going to.
I mean, he would just DH probably.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a waste of his talents, yeah. You know. Guys I like that we could pick up, Brandon Belt is a free agent, left-handed
bat. He made
bat.
Too much damn money in his career.
That
Doc
Gaetti guy, Jesus Christ. I really should get him on because, like, I think he's not as malignantly dumb as I think he is. He's just a boomer.
I feel the opposite about, well, not in the way the opposite. Opposite generation, but I kind of feel the same way about Cardinals Reek. Like,
yeah.
We've talked about it. The guy does good analysis, but he also
he's great. He's so annoying on Twitter sometimes. Nick hates him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Nick, chill out. Like, of all, we like it when, like, women hate us. We don't like it when Cardinals Reek does. I love Reek and would love to have him on. I should actually reach out to Kareem. Kareem does all the appearances on him. But yeah, Reek, like, with the whole Waino saga last season, I'm like, dude, go out and go out and get some pussy. No one who's getting pussy fucking behaves like this. I think he did, because he eventually kind of laid off on it. Or maybe, like, enough people got pissed at him for the bit. Because he, you know, it's a Frank Fleming bit for that. I'm like, Frank Fleming fucking sucks. It promotes this level of toxicity. Like, drop it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, was last year, like, your only take on Waino should have been, it's really unfortunate. You hate to see him go out that way. Probably would have been best for him to retire the year before.
He's selfish for taking $17.5 million that the Cardinals wanted to pay him.
Yeah, that's dumb.
He's selfish for taking up a roster.
I mean, it felt like elder abuse for a while, but that's the organization. That's the organization.
Yeah, I would rest significant blame on, like, the organization for bringing him back at that. Like, a player that wants to come back because they think they can or they're chasing a milestone has the right to be selfish with that. They're chasing after their legacy and accolade. They're chasing fulfillment. They won't do this the rest of their life. And while they're blessed beyond measure to be making hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of their career on that one, you know, this is a sport that is driven by legacy. This is a sport driven by your image, okay? And, like, his last image is, I couldn't get through five innings when me, Yachty, and Albert get pulled. And, like, we can't go out like that. I have to go, you know, I'm going to stick around one more and try and go out on my terms. And that's the thing, you know, going out on your terms as someone, you know, it's different than if you're, like, a guy going out who's got, what, like, 2 or 3 years of big leagues or, you know, Taylor Motter going out on his terms, okay? Like, it's much different in terms of guys like that. Adam Wainwright, who's been a stalwart for this organization since 2006. Like, he gets to choose to go out how he wants to go out.
I really want to, speaking of which, I want to read, like, Taylor Motter's, like, memoir where it's, like, my side of the story.
My side. That John Mozeliak, I kick his ass. I kick his ass and fuck his dog. I give him that West Virginia toodaloo is what I give him there.
Fucking clear waivers? Fucking clear this, bitch.
I'm big on, you know, in terms of positional pieces. I mean, Whit Merrifield's available.
He would be nice.
And I don't think he's going to command them a salary. He's versatile in both outfield and infield. 700 OPS. And so I'm looking at it as, like, a guy who fills in, spot starts. Same with Kevin Kiermaier. I just mentioned Belt. Jock Peterson's available as well. So is Joey Votto. If we wanted to do the funniest thing we could do,
would be kind of a nice DH option.
Left-handed DH, yeah.
Just let the guy hit, man.
Just let him
hit.
I
feel like if he, I mean,
give him the pools, Freeman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, give him, like, yeah, like, pretend that he's been with us for.
We induct him into the Cardinals Hall of Fame immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
Here's your red coat, Joey.
We should do that. Fuck the Reds. What a piss poor organization.
Oh, yeah, but hey, we're going to get to fucking see the Reds, baby.
We are, baby. We're playing a big ass road trip. I don't know. That's, to me, like, you know, what I think a reasonable, like, additions will be, because they're going to. It seems like they're really high on trading O'Neill and Carlson. And I think Cardinals fans, it's the same with Edmund. I think Cardinals fans are bigger on bigger on Edmund than the org lends to tends to show. But, like, I think Cards fans, especially all three of those players, are overvaluing them. He was like, yeah, we can trade DC and Tyler O'Neill and get, like, a top prospect back. I'm like, no. O'Neill had an MVP-esque year and has been hurt 2 years in a row, and Dylan Carlson has been a raw dog by this organization. Has been hurt the past 2 years.
Dude, like, I just want, like, a number four starter or just, like, a solid reliever for either of those guys. Yeah. Not
there's people that think trading those two guys and Alec Burleson will get us Tyler Glasnow. Yeah, and I'm like, we could trade anything to the Rays as long as we promise to eat that salary. But if they're, like, doing an exchange in talent, the Rays have Shane Baz is coming back, but he's hurt. Shane McClanahan's fucking hurt. Drew Rasmussen is fucking hurt. Tyler Glasnow is going to get hurt, but, like, right now he's not. So, like, he's their guy going in, along with, what, Eflin? Like, if they're going to trade Glasnow, wouldn't they want to try and get pitching back in return?
You would think.
For an organization that hates spending a shit ton of money? So, like, why would they, a team that had one of the most electric offenses last season, trade for bats that aren't going to make a bit of fucking difference for them?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's not like we can even lend ourselves to the upside and trade a Matthew Liberatore. They traded him to us. Like,
they did. They fucking got us back.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be like, you know what, we're really happy with how he performed at the MLB level.
Yeah, you know, he pitched well against us, but not everyone else. That he sucked.
I was in a hospital watching that game, actually.
Yeah. That was a great game.
It was.
I'm happy for Libs there.
It's a terrible fucking stadium.
You know what? Do you think it's Libs' talent, or do you think this organization has just fucked him up again, like they do at any arm? Because he is just not – I mean, this is 2 years in a row where it just hasn't come together yet. And, like, I would figure you would see progress this season, but, like, he just had that one really great start, and that was it.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, obviously an issue with him is consistency in terms of, like, how the organization's sitting him up and down.
COVID hurt, too. I mean, he missed a whole year of development with that.
I mean, that doesn't help. Do I am I going to be a betting man and say he's going to be, like, a future one or two in the rotation?
He's definitely not already. He's, at best, going to be a five or a four.
I mean, unless he makes some huge fucking leap.
I put him above Woodford and Dak. But, like, I think, like, Zach Thompson is ahead of him in terms of...
I think Zach Thompson edges him out slightly.
He's edging, bro.
But also, Zach Thompson's pretty effective out of the pen, so I'm not opposed to him.
No, Zach Thompson is... He's fucking weird. Let's just leave it at that. Like, he gets called up, pitches well, has a little bit, not a collapse, but, you know, rough spot. We send him down. We're going to stretch you out to be a starter. And his time down in Memphis during that fucking sucked. He's, I guess, playing with, like, a... developing, like, a changeup or something. And he had, like, horrible numbers. And we bring him back up, and he sticks the rest of the year. And he was great. I don't know. Like, if we're talking about picking a guy within the organization right now to fill out the five spot, you know, I think Thompson is first in line in the pecking order on that one. Then it goes Libs, maybe Dak or Woodford. I mean, they have MLB experience, but I would.
Dak's gone, though, this offseason. I mean...
Oh, yeah, he's probably going to get non-tendered. I mean, because he's up for arbitration. I'm looking at if Graceffo has a very good start in Memphis, and, I don't expect him to blow guys away, but, you know, if he's just doing well in general, you know, I would put him ahead. Definitely ahead of Dak, but I think, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think we're probably going to just release him. But I would put him right at where Woodford's at. Toss up on those. Woodford has MLB experience. Sure, he's already got the timer on him. Do we want to start the timer on Graceffo just to have him come up and get a couple of May or June starts possibly? Who knows? Yeah. But I would be more comfortable
and there's McGreevy
transitioning to him.
He's knocking on the
door. I don't have any faith in him.
I mean, fair, but...
And I know
he's another guy that organization.
It's shitty to say.
Touts,
yeah, it's shitty to say, but like he doesn't strike out guys. He gives up a ton of base runners. He's Dakota Hudson without the walks. Like, unless McGreevy develops like a high strikeout pitch in a slider and really, I think, transitions into, you know, kind of like how Justin Steele is effective. Unless he transitions into a guy who generates a lot of swing and misses and deception with his fastball in addition to his breaking ball. I don't have any faith in Michael McGreevy really like becoming like a rotational mainstay or fixture. Same with Connor Thomas. I really kind of think we pissed away, you know, we'll have Kyle on next couple weeks, but you know, I'll see what bounces off him. But I really kind of think we pissed away some decent talent. Graceffo, I think, is very salvageable on that, mainly because he throws so fucking hard.
Hey, one thing we didn't give away, though, is...
herpes.
Johan Oviedo.
Yeah, he looks like he might need TJ.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That does suck.
To our couple of Pittsburgh fans that listen to us, like, you know, we'll see you next year.
We will see them next year.
Yeah. But that sucks. We want Johan to... We want anytime a guy leaves this organization, we want him to be successful. And you know, and that's a guy we were rooting for. And he had a good year. You know, a little north of 4 ERA, but he got dubs, which he couldn't get here.
How many starts did he have? Wasn't it like 18 or something?
It's like 15 starts before he finally got a win. And I think he got it in relief, I want to say. But like there was that stretch where when he finally did pitch well, we would just implode.
Mm-hmm.
Just super embarrassing. I don't know. Any of those bats I mentioned? I don't know. What do you think? Lourdes would be great. I would love a Lourdes Gurriel. But I think he's going to command, like, again, we're under the assumption we're playing with, like, $55, $65 million, you know?
Still pisses me off.
Jeff Jones wrote about it. It was like, the cap is made up. They could definitely spend more than that.
Yeah.
But, like,
I mean, a $200 million fucking payroll for this organization and this fan base is not that extreme. It's act like that's
what's
like
the luxury
this
tax
big...
like $230. Let me look up MLB's luxury tax.
I mean, Jesus, there's teams that probably have close to a $300 million payroll.
Yeah, and they did bad, but that was just unfortunate. MLB luxury.
It's. Fuck.
Yeah, it's $233 million this past season, so 2023 luxury tax.
And this is what they should do, which is what like the NBA does. At least the NBA used to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you don't hit like the salary cap, all that money, it's guaranteed. So the remainder still just gets split among the rest of the players.
Yeah, it's revenue. Oh, yeah. I forgot. NBA, yeah, like players take, what, a 48% cut, I believe.
It's like some, yeah.
There's CBA.
It's something.
2024 luxury tax will be $237 million. I feel like every team should be right up to that shit every single year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a soft salary cap.
Yeah.
Why are you going to let teams outspend you? I mean, every fucking NFL team isn't really under the salary cap. They're right at it.
No, yeah. They get really close to it. It's just, I don't know, like, owners that go over it, because when it comes to that luxury tax, it's divided amongst part of revenue sharing that goes to bottom tier teams that obviously won't pay a luxury tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if you have like a $275 million payroll team, okay, and then that X amount of money is getting cut up and distributed to like fucking John Fisher or Bob Nutting, who don't give a fuck about their team. They just pocket that money. You know, it probably pisses you off a bit. But, I mean, I believe you should institute a salary floor. Or better yet, if you want to come in under salary on that, you get, like, your portion of revenue sharing cut. Because it's, you know, that is... I don't want a salary cap because I like that players can really kind of blow shit out in baseball, because I think it's an incredibly – and this is like America's like second or third most popular sport, second on a good day.
Yeah, and every athlete and every professional sport wants to be a baseball player because of the money and the general damage to your body.
I mean,
the NBA schedule, while it's half as many games, if you're a fucking starter on an NBA team you're healthy, you're playing 70-plus games.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick schedule. It's
very
exhausting.
Quick. Yeah.
Football, it's a car crash every week you're in.
Yeah, no, And, well, I mean, football players are criminally underpaid. It's the most popular sport in America.
And they
criminally underpaid.
Yeah, I mean, and none of the contracts are
guaranteed. Pat Mahomes got, like, a $40 million a year contract, and it was, like, blowing people's minds. I'm like, well, he fucking had, like, two 40-year-old fucking grandpas get a 40-year, like, $43 million a year. Like... We're going to have, we have guys like that that break that all the time. Like, there's a disparity between, like, baseball's, like, middle and lower class compared because, like, average salary costs are kind of inflated when you have a guy that's, you know, like, Soto or Ohtani that are going to get a $500 million contract on it. There are problems within the sport. We have bitched about it a million times. But, like, I like that team spend to win, but also, like, the reality of the situation is these are owned by incredibly wealthy people that made their wealth not with a baseball team. This is just a vanity thing for them. This is a toy. And so, like, if you're going to have your toy on here, like, I figure you have to pay, like, a minimum entry fee for this toy to, like, go out and entertain the masses. Like, to me, I think, like, a salary floor should be, like, $100 million. And if you – actually, no – deeply, I believe it should be 150. Let's say $125 million payroll. Because teams add and subtract throughout the year. They have deferred payments on that. They have injured reserve or injury list payroll. They have payroll that comes off by a trade and release and up and down moving between Memphis and all that shit. Or, sorry, AAA and all that shit. So,
can you imagine being the accountant for, like, the, like, head of payroll for the Cardinals?
It's stupid. Yeah.
It's just like the Memphis shuttle. Oh, they brought him up. Oh, wait, no, they're optioning him back down just to create a spot at the deadline on the 40-man.
That's the thing that's kind of frustrating that doesn't get mentioned, because, like, when you come up and get, like, rookie status, you know, you now have like a $700,000 contract, but, like, you don't get that, obviously.
That's my rate. They have to pay it to me, even if I do a bad job.
So if you come up and you're up for 50 days, you get 50 days of that $700,000 contract. So, or $720K for the rookie level.
It's prorated.
Yeah. So, all that said, I mean, this kind of comes back to it. The card should go up to $220, $230 million easily.
And that gets you your three starters and an impact bat.
Like, I didn't look at Gould's reporting for the exact number. I just look at Spotrac. I think they're entering 2024 at, what, 120 or something like that mil. Let me look at active. Team payroll is entering 2024 right now. 26-man payroll. I need the 40, but regardless, Cards at $123 million on their fucking 26-man and estimated 126 right now. So, yeah, I mean, they could spend realistically $100 million in free agency and in trades. And if we spent $100 million, I mean, we get, not only we get the cake, we get the topping with it as well, right?
You want to see
some boobs?
A little off topic. You know how... since most of my family, specifically my father, does not listen to this podcast.
You want to slur him?
No. No, this is rather sweet.
Yeah.
Look at what my friend Callie's is going to be. I'm going to get this, you know, printed up and framed. She did that from, like, a photo I sent of the two grandchildren.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like,
I keep forgetting Callie's very, very artistic.
Yeah. She goes to a pizza place and gets spaghetti. So.
She does, yeah. She has got some drawtism, if you know what I mean.
That might be a bleep.
She's slightly artistic.
That might be a bleep. Let's see. 53, what's it called?
What?
53,
I have
15.
You know, just as one. You know, you're not centric or centered, but let's say a drawtistic individual.
53 to 36. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she made a good painting.
She did. So. It's a twofold. One, I know it's gonna make, you know. Well, I was about to say, but talking about my mom, it's going to make these bitches cry. I was like, wait, no, I'm talking about my mom. Yeah, but also, it's like, hey, I got to support her little thing, give her some extra spending money. You know, yeah. It's a win-win.
I should really do, like, an Etsy and, like, go back to doing, like, commissions for drawing and stuff.
What's the story with this rose and a noose?
Oh, I was trying to make something deep. I haven't even finished painting it. It's just, like, a fucking draft of it, so...
Yeah, I think you painted that, like, right before I moved in.
I was working on it before you moved in, yeah. So because I'm trying to teach myself to do acrylics, and I'm just lazy on it. I'll probably go through a bout where I'll start painting again. Because I just do it all from my fucking iPad. I do it digitally. So, and like I'm more the comfortable cyber. Drawing is why. So I have my sketchbook and
yeah. Man, what were we talking about? Sorry to interrupt.
We're talking about pussy. We're talking about payroll.
Payroll.
If the Cardinals have spend $100 million, folks, that solves so many fucking problems.
Like Ilhan Omar. It's all about the Benjamins.
It's all about. I can't do her accent. And on second thought. Don't even try to do the accent. That would be an even longer bleep.
55 minutes.
But 100 million. That would solve so much problems.
Yeah. I'm just sick of we're going to have to, balance, ticket sales. And it's like, dude, if you actually, I'm not saying you need to go Steve Cohen levels of lunacy and free agency. But like, dude, if you go out there and you genuinely get two solid starters and like a solid like number three, number four starter. Add a couple decent bullpen arms
or fucking wild card,
like Andrew Chafin, because I want him to be on the same team as Miles Michaelis.
Watch Andrew Chafin being like super pro trans and left, like John Doolittle. Andrew Chafin.
Well,
I fucking love my trans daughter in AR-15 Miles.
Chafin is like, I think you could get him for $9 million. Like he's not gonna be easily, that pricey.
Easily. You said something. I was gonna. Oh no! So the ticket sales. I called this. I called this last year when it was going down. So I feel smart. The Cardinals are worried about RSN revenue from, like, lost revenue from Bally going tits up.
Formerly known as Diamond Sports.
Well, not Bally. Yeah, Bally's just the name for it. I forget. It's been a long time since we checked in on Diamond Sports Group. So they're wanting to rely heavily on, like, paid attendance. So, like, they're going to use that to walk out. Folks, what I'm getting at is we're getting Alec Wood. We're getting Seth Lugo. And we're getting Rich Hill.
You should do the poll that Ryan sent us.
Oh, I'll do I'll do it. Ryan's a coward for this one, and it was a brilliant poll.
Yeah.
But Ryan was going to make a poll to put on Twitter that says, the Cardinals should do, what did he say? The Cardinals should
sign
trade for a Japanese, sign a Japanese. Or wait, the Cardinals next day should come from trading for a Japanese, signing a Japanese. Picking up a wave jet or something like that, and then it just said Alec Wood. I'm like, post that. That's awesome. He's like, I'm like, you pussy. It's such a good joke.
I'm terrified.
It's such a good joke.
Because my husbands might find out.
It's such a good joke. We might get Yoshinobu. Yeah. We might get, who's the other one? Imanga? Manga, you're a mongoloid. All right,
that's 57.
That's not going to be a bleep. That's a fun one.
You're just stealing my joke. This is stolen valor, Tom.
Yeah, I thought I let you rip it on here.
No, I ripped that in the group.
Well, you ripped that because a chick was like, I'm into manga.
Yeah.
You're like, your book. Wait, you want to do it? All right, let's pretend we're the chat.
No, I'm
come
I'm
on.
Not.
Come on.
We're not.
Come on, give the fans a little meat.
That was like the offensive term before the R word. We're backsliding.
I just posted, in the chat that apparently it's okay to use it in some circumstances. I didn't actually read the article, but I'm guessing it's going to be.
Well, you can't say Cretan, that's for sure.
I should say it again and see if that lady with Cretanism comes back out.
It's actually a slur for people with hypothyroidism. I'm like, I don't.
Okay, you fucking mutant.
I don't give a fuck that you have two fucking Adam's apples suffocating you.
Jesus Christ. I don't give a fuck. You're turning into the elephant man. Okay, that one's rough.
I'm eating my transformation.
We have nothing against people with cretinism, just those that name search it and have to comment on it.
And then have like a generic response to all. Because she had like, she said the exact same thing to like multiple people.
A lot of people, and I just replied, okay. Although it wasn't the initial one I was going to say.
That we one respect was, women.
Yeah, we respect. No, it wasn't gonna be. It wasn't gonna be misogynist. It was gonna be ableist.
Oh, okay. Well,
So we've been working on each other. I guess this is what this pod's devolved into. We've been working on each other for on ourselves. We're being better people.
We're putting our best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
We're pillars of the community.
We are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't? Oh yeah, because someone just asked you to join like a committee or something, right?
Oh, the Cape Dems for committee chair. I initially was going to, and then I stopped because I'd rather do this. Although I said I would come to meetings again, just so I can, I guess, talk about Joe Biden and what I can do to help him win re-election. Yay.
What? I don't, you know.
The new guy they have that I need to actually research, Lucas Kunson. They have another guy running, challenging for Jason Smith's seat, and he's apparently a rich farmer, rich old farmer. And I had asked, I'm like, so what does he believe in? He was like, well,
where's he from? Did they say?
I don't know. I have yet to look into
him. I'm like, if it's this dude I used to work with up in Bon Terre, I'm like, this is the guy.
Yeah, name drop. Well, you know, he's a politician. We should be meeting a politician.
He's a city manager.
They said he was pro-choice and, like, sensible gun regulations and all that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, but, like, how does he feel about, like, unions? How does he feel about, like, trans people? How does he feel about, like, public health care and education? Like, what is he like? How does he feel about stuff like that for this area? Because, like, I don't want to bring in some like business minded fucking Dem. Like, I don't want that.
I can't even find this guy's name.
He's dead to us. That's all. So he's probably going to lose. Jason Smith has the most. Like, he has the most secure congressional seat in Missouri by a mile.
One of the things that upset, not really upset me, but just, like, solidified that this is all just political theater and really means nothing at the local
Politics level. You guys are getting it all. We talk homeschool, religion, free agent signing. Now we got politics.
Yeah. But the, like, a few years ago they were running that Kathy Ellis lady. Who
I remember her
is an older lesbian, and she's super nice lady. I got to talk to her a few times at different events when I was working on the Claire campaign. But then, you know, after that first election, she got fucking smoked. I mean, easy 40-point spread.
Yeah.
Like, and then the next time she was running again, running as the same candidate, and I was talking to someone who's like fairly well connected. And, you know, is a supporter of the county Dems. I don't think he's, like, an official member because, you know, what he does for work. But, he's like, yeah, you know, Kathy's just having fun. And I'm like, you know, I don't think elections need to be fun. I think elections need to be about getting, you know, power. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about power.
Needs to be about maybe, like, trying to level the score. Why?
And for
I don't need a lady who's just wanting to have some fun.
And for little leftists like us, it's also like moving our positions into local elections, where we can actually leverage our vote and not be assholes about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it shouldn't be a fucking hobby. It shouldn't be like you're building a fucking car for like one of those like Matchbox races or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's not even like a state
one of those
house.
Pinewood Derby
this
cars.
This is a U.S. You know? This is a U.S. house
seat. Yeah,
this is not
$100,000 a year job.
Yeah, this is not a like a well, I'm just having fun and we'll see what happens. Like,
yeah,
no,
they really. I mean, I went to like whenever they brought in the head of the Missouri Dems, who are incredibly underfunded and underpowered and kind of think a little disorganized, but I mean, I kind of see why they
actually
are.
No worse than the state party from what I've heard. The state party,
that's what I'm talking about. The state, is like the state Missouri state Dems.
Yeah, the state party is like literally delinquent. Like they have like no money.
Yeah. Well, the national level, they don't give it to them, and you know, Missouri's a red state, but nationally it's very purple. But like you know, I think just a little money turns a 6-2 House majority in the state to a 5-3 because you could go after Ann Wagner's district because Ann Wagner's only winning her district. She wins her district by less than 10 points.
Or Billy.
And even after, like, redistricting, she only wins by, like, fucking 6 or 7.
Yeah. I mean, Springfield, too. Billy Long, dude.
You can get after Billy Long. I think they cut that district up, though.
Yeah, it's gerrymandered.
It's heavily. But yeah. And you can get Ann Wagner. You can definitely get after her. 6-2. Now we have a 5-3 here. And you have St. Louis under your thumb. Like, I don't want to sound, like, cruel in this sense, but, like, they should throw a shit ton of money at that and try and flip that seat. And then slowly try and do what they can out here. I mean, Jason Smith's district goes 80-20 for him.
Yeah.
I mean, what inroads do you make on that? Except, like, I would kind of view it as, like, a guerrilla campaign of just, like, you know, doing, like, I mean, the brave thing would be what? Like labor antagonism. Be like, Jason Smith votes for this, and you're losing your jobs here. You know, you need to unionize. You need to form.
I mean, even this area,
you need to organize and mobilize and seize this with your job and demand this from your job. And Jason Smith is one of these motherfuckers to blame.
Well, and like vote no on Prop A. Like, dude, when I worked on that campaign, the union guys turned out in droves to knock doors and
fucking
doors.
A, man. Fucking A.
And it's like. That's a popular.
That was the
thing
right to work
area.
One, right? If
yeah.
I remember. Oh God, that was a long time ago.
That was 2018.
Dude, I'm so fucking old.
I mean, that was five years ago for me too. So.
Yeah, I know you were what 21, 22.
Yeah, right around there.
Speaking of Nick's birthday is coming up too.
It is the 16th.
Anyway, I guess politically, Missouri's fucked. I doubt. I mean, you know, and maybe we're not helping things when we move to St. Louis because, you know, we're just going to move to, you know, have Cori Bush as our rep or be in Ann Wagner's district. Maybe we should, like, live in West County so we can try and, at least in some regard, fuck with Ann Wagner's
Let's
district.
Live in Warrington. We can be
living out here in Wildwood. We're living under an overpass, begging all the hockey players to give us money. Please, Yachty.
Which is St. Charles, Cori Bush?
No.
That
Cori Bush has the city area. St. Charles. Ann Wagner has a county down to like Jefferson, that area.
Okay.
And St. Charles is heavily red. St. Charles is a separate one that goes like all the way to, like Jefferson City in northeast Missouri.
Well. That is a nice community. I'll give them that.
It's super. It's a conservative stronghold.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, like Adam Friedland was on YMH and he's like, I just like it in movies. Like the movie Seven, I don't like it because everything's so dirty and dark. And I just like when things are nice. I just like it whenever.
I figure he'd like things dirty and dusty because he's a fucking bug.
Yeah.
Who eats all that grime. Did we leave anything? Do you see Lars Nupar doing Mo's job? Just he'd be like, me and Yamamoto's mom, my mom and Yamamoto's mom talk a lot, and you know he's really excited to come pitch in the MLB. I'm like, Lars is gonna fucking get him signed over here.
And Shohei,
whoa!
This team is never gonna get Shohei Ohtani.
Maybe like if he has catastrophic injuries and is out of the league for 3 years and makes a comeback. Maybe we'll finally spend the money on him.
Well, my someone made a good point on Twitter, and I apologize for not remembering who, but they were going on about how it's and I agree with this that it's dumb that you know some of like the Asian talents like oh they're prioritizing like the West Coast because it's a shorter flight back. I'm like,
yeah,
how many times in midseason are you flying back and forth to Japan? Like,
I'm not sure.
All-Star break. Maybe if you get like a pretty gnarly injury, so you're going back home to like rehab it or something.
Yeah, I don't
which
know.
Which is still kind of taboo. You would probably go to the spring training facility. You'd be with the team as much as you can.
God, I would hate making that fucking flight. Jesus.
You know, I mean,
suck. It'd be a shitty flight.
Yeah, it would be great. But again, you're a pro athlete making hundreds of millions of dollars. You can either charter your own plane or just. I don't know. Fly
do
first
enough,
class.
Yeah. What was the drug Nick was taking? Because he was so paranoid about flying out to LA.
Was he taking Xanax?
No, it was something like that, but it had a different name on it. Like, you just get so loaded on, like, preem shit like that, and then just pass out, and then, like, 13 hours later, they're like, we're fucking crashing into Mount Fuji. Psych, you're falling into the little suicide forest.
Yeah. Fucking Logan Paul's like, we're gonna parachute for this video. Come on, Shohei.
I pitched terribly in America.
Well, you know, who's elite in Japan is,
Saki Bomb?
Trevor Lauer.
Okay, stop. No, he's not getting signed here. Kelsey Bird of Peace Love and Baseball.
Based.
Yeah, base. She had a base response on that one. So
is she on that There's No Crying? And
no, she works with them.
I didn't know she was one of the co-hosts.
She got she has co-hosts with the Babes podcast, and then she's doing another one. She's very active. For like it's like Bourbon and Ball or something like that. She announced it today. So,
oh yeah,
yeah, she's living life, man. So we need to get her on. I told you I was probably gonna have cats out of the bag. I asked her if she'd read a part for one of our 82 series, so we'll have her voice on there then. But she really have her interviewed. I like her vibe. So, I like the cut of your jib or whatever.
Yeah. I saw your vibe from across the bar, and I really
saw your vibes from across the bar. And listen, I need money for a cab home.
Yeah.
So
these are the memes. These are the memes that woo the women.
Also, I forgot chart update. I mean, we still vary between 100 and 199 in the U.S., but we've been around top 100 on baseball podcasts in Germany, and we're all. We talked about this a week ago. We're a little concerned. what our German listeners. What's going on, Germany?
I love
Why do
das,
you like us?
That's Nolan Arenado. He's such a good player.
Yeah.
Oh, little. And then.
Das and Joshua then, ist fröhlich. He ist sehr über fröhlich.
Albert Pujols' new wife is such a beautiful friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Josh guy, he's so funny, but he's a Juden. All right, crumble champs. Cran's in Europe.
Yeah, you know what? We should shout out old.
I keep forgetting to send her a fucking shirt. I'm gonna make her a second shirt and send her one.
We should shout out old one of our readers on the website, old Jay Tomlin. He was a super nice dude. So you know how like my mom does like that sitting gig. You know,
yeah.
And she apparently is taking care of his mom right now. So I guess whenever I mentioned it, because I try to not be like a douche, but he was talking to you and seemed to know you. So my in was like, oh, hey, what's your name, man? Oh, yeah, I'm Josh. Like, I live with Tom and I do that. You know, we do the podcast because he mentioned something to you about that right beforehand. He's like, wait, where do you work? I told him. He's like, shit, like. Your mom, like, I know your mom. And then we connected. Super genuine, nice dude. So shout out to him.
He's really cool.
And, you know, anybody who reads our stuff, I shouldn't say our stuff because I've written one thing for it. You and Nick's stuff. Yeah.
Shout out to him. I need to publish the part 3 script on
there. And that's a very blatantly positive thing. So he's not my crumble coin champ because we're trying to confuse the Patreon people by not having it.
Yeah, they were asking about that.
Bad.
What was Alex was like, I can't decide if crumble coin champs are good or bad. And we're like, exactly.
Yeah.
We're like, that's not an answer, Tom.
let's see. I want to say my crumble coin champ, just coming up.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Who you learned about in homeschool while reading the Hunger Games.
I actually heard about him when I had passed out at adoration. And then all the blood returned.
Jesus Christ, he passed out!
All the blood went from my dick to my brain all at the same time from my blue balls. So, no, Kyle Reese. Kyle Reese is my crumble coin champ. He's going to humor us by coming back on soon. We need to get Stu on, too.
We're getting... I miss Stu. Hold on, let me make sure I got.
We have some guests
these next couple Wednesdays that we record.
We're getting Jimmy the Cat Hayes.
Yeah, okay. We're getting STL Sports Central. They're coming on Wednesday. Shoot the shit, and then we're gonna have Caleb Noble, and then Kyle Reese, and then who else? I need to ask Kareem and get Kareem on. You're wanting Newt News?
Yeah, I think Newt News would be good. They've got a good following, and
yeah,
I think they follow me. I'm sure they follow you guys.
They follow us too.
You're much more of a reply guy than I am.
Yeah, I think I have the. I think we got the pod where we want it, where everyone unfortunately knows us and doesn't know what to think of us.
Yeah,
we know the reporters, you fucking cowards, are aware of our existence, except Brendan Schaefer, because he thinks we're funny. But, you know, you have no problem ignoring us when at one point we were the 99th most listened to podcast in America for one week and only 1 week.
We've been in top 100 a couple times.
We've been like couple, but I think maybe by couple.
We were actually for a minute, we were ahead of Sean Casey's podcast.
We were, and yeah. He should have came on. But we know you reporters are out there. Yeah. You know, we know. We know you follow us. We know you. Oh, you roll your eyes.
For the Bellevue News Democrat.
Yeah. One day we're going to get
you. Go on other podcasts. Why don't you?
Yeah, Jeff. What the fuck, Jeff?
Come on the View.
We think you're fucking based as hell, Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're scared. Why are they scared?
I don't know.
We're gentle.
Maybe
our interviews aren't that acerbic. We don't even like yell at anyone.
We're super nice in our.
We're super nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I sim. I was like, here's an interview. This is what to expect.
Yeah. Our I wonder if because of a Mr. Buffa and because there's beef between the two of them, maybe he's like they pick sides.
Oh yeah, Jeff and Dan. But here's the thing. But it's fine.
I want to clear that beef up, and I want to be the dumbest man in St. Louis. That's the title.
Fuck you, Jeff. I want a challenge for that title. Don't give it to Dan.
Yeah.
You're coming on this pod one way or another, Jeff Jones. And you're.
We should do. We should do like the H3 thing where what's his face from Majority or Sam Cedar basically got like admitted into this debate against like what Steven Crowder. Yeah, we should do that just like in the middle of it. Just like, oh, who's this? Admit like, hey Jeff, what's up?
Start tagging based ass Jeff Jones and like all our shit. Be like, while we're like, I'm out here. I'm here at work doing a menial task, and I'm just saying, Jeff Jones, you need to come on Worst Fans Pod.
Yeah.
You get your ass on here.
That's what
I'm here outside the Bellevue Democrat wearing a certain vest that looks like he has dynamite.
Honestly, Patreon minions, that's what you should be doing for us. You know, think about what Tom Segura has with YMH. He's ruined Garth Brooks's career.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should ask our listeners to ask Jeff Jones where the bodies are at.
Where are the bodies, Jeff?
I really just want him on to just vibe with him, dude. He'd be just really cool. Yeah. So we should actually go back because we, you know, I think us bullshitting with Schaefer, I think we get him. We should go on and just keep goofing with him.
Yeah. Does he go on many other podcasts? Because he's so busy with his own. He
I know he is and all that. And like, honestly, I always kind of thought he would, in terms of like journos out there, would really kind of vibe the best with us on that one. So
granted, Kyle told us, he was like, you guys need to tone it back just a little bit. I was like, wait, I can't make Oscar Tavares jokes in front of Brendan Schaefer.
Yeah, I mean, like, we know the bed we've made, and we're happy to lay in it. That's why we're like, oh yeah, this like fucking what Edgy calls each other gay podcast also released these historical episodes where they like analyze a team and write. So like, I want you all to know, like, when you come on here, it's not going to be the left one or the right. It's going to be right in the middle. We're going to be a center. We'll make a couple of ball jokes. We're going to talk a lot of baseball. It's fine. It's completely harmless and safe.
Yeah. We won't even be like, which Cardinals player do you think has the biggest dick, like we did to Kyle.
Yeah, we're not going to say actual cancelable stuff.
Yeah. But Kyle fits our vibe. He's a little flirtatious little ninja.
He is. I think we're going to have sex eventually on that one. I mean, it's just, I just can't wait to show him my Beyblade collection, you know?
I mean, if I've got to get, like, more surgery or something next year, I'd rather be married to him. He's got that good job, hop on his benefits, a little Chuck and Larry situation. I like it.
I would love to trap Derek Gould and make him do an ep with Nick on just so he can get pissed off at Nick. Mm. That would be my favorite thing in the
world. I just think we get very like,
because you and I have defended Gould numerous times, yeah, to Nick, because we know Nick doesn't read them.
We get accused. We should get accusatory with Derek and be like, "Oh, Diamond Sports Group. Well, it just so DSG also just happens to stand for Derek Stewart Gould. Do you have any comment on that?
Do you have any comment about that, host of Best Pod in Baseball? You've met your antithesis here. You've met the anti-best pod, yeah, in baseball. You've met the worst one.
Our shirts, like at the Cards game, was a perfect microcosm of that. Because like a lot of the ushers were like, "But we're the best fans in baseball. What is your shirt?"
It's a podcast, dog. You fucking white boys in your podcast. Yeah. These old Jewish ushers. You white boys in your podcast.
I've got a little sidebar for a quick minute. Today I had to go to this event over at the Fine Arts campus because it was like a music major, like audition day. So the theory was we're going to have a table there and, you know, these new incoming students are going to be swinging by. I'm sure their parents will join them. You know, if they have questions about the community or that kind of stuff, we can give them kind of the skinny on, this is Cape. Your kid's in a good place, yada, yada, yada. Because of the issues with my butt, I had to go take a shit at work, and I gave birth to Jormungandr, the first rite of Ragnarok. I go to the office to do that because I got, you know, my shit there, and then I drive back over to this campus, and I come back, and there's two music teachers, and one's like, are you Josh? And I was like, yeah, hi. She's like, oh, hi, we'll change her name. Like, I'm Lorraine. Like, nice to meet you. I'm like, hi, yeah. And she's like, so, and just out of nowhere, they're like, so, I have a friend who is looking to move from Kentucky, and, she's just not really finding anyone there, and I hear you're single. And I was like, what the fuck transpired when I was gone? And they're just like, yeah, apparently she went out with someone who was a teacher at Murray, and he was just boring, so
we need to get someone more exciting. And yeah, you've nearly died and, like five and, times in this yeah. past year alone.
Well, and she's just like, I hear you're very funny, and I'm just looking at like two of my volunteers who are retirees, and my coworker Josh. I'm like, what the fuck happened while I was gone? You guys are pimping me out.
Shit yourself into a different reality. As yeah. You did.
And then this lady goes as far, and like I don't know if they prepared her, because this was like in a way sad for me, was you know, I didn't get the immediately like they she saw me and was like, oh, that's what he looks like, oh, okay, yeah, he's 300 pounds and has a neck beard and a podcast, that's charming,
he's a normal white guy,
yeah, but she's like, so, you know, she's a moving, so you need to get my number from your boss, and then I'll make the, you know, we'll make arrangements, you know, if she ever comes up the Cape. I was like, okay. And then she tells me this girl's name, so I get back to the office and I'm nosy and look her up. This chick is like a 10. She is so far out of my league. I'm like, dude, why the fuck was anyone?
Oh, dude, come on. You can fuck above your class, dude.
This is too above my class.
Nah.
This is like,
come on, dude, you gotta have, dude, come on. I have fucked.
Come on, bro. You got to have confidence, bro.
Dude, I am a 4.5, and I have fucked probably up to an 8, 8.5 before.
Listen, you can do it. I don't believe in
I should also say fuck, okay? It's just really, really wrenching up the objectification here.
I don't believe in ranking women because I believe all women. And I think we should.
When your white liberalism gets in the way of
your. But yeah, no, this woman was like fucking beautiful, and I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think I'm gonna.
Come on, you
have
that style of confidence.
Yeah, this
he was with Rachel Sennett, man. You could fucking do that. Mm. You can do it.
Well, and
you know,
according, and I've never seen these people in real life, but Sam Bankman-Fried, he was a hunk in those court drawings, and. You know,
those
could
have been real. Those had to be bits. Please tell me those were bits. Everyone kept sharing them around like they're real. And like, I feel like I'm entering my boomer phase of my life where like I'm easily duped by dumb shit. I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to. I want to know, but dude, I didn't want to ask.
Dude, the Cardinals signed Shohei Ohtani for $8 million a year.
Yeah, someone posted
fucking
that.
Fucking overpaid.
Whoa. And Nakayeti's thing has turned from Brandon Belt to Brett Gardner, but that's a different thing. We got to wrap this up.
Yeah, we do.
Who's your crumble champ, you said?
Kyle Reese.
Yeah. Mine's Cran. There you go, Alex. A fucking good one.
Yeah, enjoy Poland.
Yeah. Oh, wait, we got to name them off.
Yeah, I'm just shouting out Cran. You know,
she's on Alex, Nick,
Tyler,
Jeff,
Richie,
James,
Bravo,
Richie, and Bravo, our favorites. Yeah. So, what's up, dates to do Friends of the Pot? I think I could do like streams and just hang out with them in Discord. I should really just do that.
I was trying to talk Bravo into getting Baldur's Gate. And I explained my character and my arc, and he's like, and I was like, dude, I need some heap companions. We gotta
yeah, we gotta put those tieflings in their fucking place. All right. We'll have an interview for you guys released on Thursday. We love you all.
We love you.
And
stay safe out there, folks.
Stay safe.